It's that time on the radio where we listen attentively to Bill Blevins from Blevins Franks. Hi there, Bill.
Hi, Howard, how are you?
I'm very well indeed. Now, what about Brexit and residency? It's been 2 years now since the UK voted to leave the EU, can you believe it? And we now know that the official Brexit date is the 29th of March 2019. But a transition period has also been agreed. And what is this? What does it mean? And do we really know when it's going to end?
Well, I think it isn't, like all things that relate to the EU, it isn't always a straightforward thing, and nor is it always easy to understand. Now, the date by which the United Kingdom will cease its membership of the European Union, effectively, is the 29th of March 2019, as you say. But it's been realised, I think, on both sides of the argument that that is too tight a timetable to really get all of the ducks lined up that need to be lined up. I mean, that's pretty evident to any of us reading the newspaper that, you know, if March next year, which is what now, 9 months away, was the deadline for everything, I don't think we'd ever get it done in time. So there's been an agreement to extend the period into what's called a transition period, which will end on the 31st of December 2020. So there will be another 21 months, effectively, for the EU and the UK to continue to negotiate and get everything in place for a cut-off in the relationship at that time, the 31st of December 2020.
Mm-hmm. So does this mean, Bill, that the transition agreement makes things easier for expatriates or those at the planning stages of moving to the EU? Because perhaps they've got more time to prepare as well.
Yeah, I think it does. I think it does. It's been a huge amount. Look, if you're a retired person living in France or Spain or Portugal or anywhere within the EU and you're a UK national, you must have had significant concerns over the continuation of your pension rights, or at least the inflation indexation of your pension, of your right to other UK benefits that might exist, and the other opportunities that exist, because there is really literally no economic border between the UK and the continent of Europe at this time. And so allowing more time to get your affairs in order is not only good for the EU and the UK in terms of their negotiations, but it's also very good for individuals who haven't actually adequately planned their future for being a UK national living in a continental European country at the time at which the UK is no longer a member of the European Union. There are likely to be some changes which take place at that time. And that's why this is a critical time for listeners to discuss with an objective and independent financial advisor what views that advisor might have on what action you might need to take to ensure that after the period at which ends on the 31st of December 2020, that your affairs are in order for what is a new political and economic arrangement. You know, having your affairs in order now, given the European Union and the economic benefits that exist between as a consequence of that arrangement, they won't exist at the end of December 2020. So now is the time to start to put your affairs in place.
So, Bill, what have the UK and the EU agreed about citizens' rights?
Oh, well, if you are already settled in an EU member state, such as Spain or France, before Britain's withdrawal date, which, as we said, is now to be the end of that transition period, you will keep the right to stay there for as long as you remain resident in the country you've chosen to live in. And so as a consequence, it's quite get your residence position and all the other aspects of your residency correct and in place before 31st December 2020.
Okay. So, for Spain listeners today, what can the UK nationals living here do to show that they're lawfully residing in Spain?
Well, I think there's some pretty straightforward things, Howard. I mean, if you are living in Spain and you're not a Spanish national, or if you own a property and you're a non-resident but you own that property in Spain, then you need an NIE number. That is the most significant consequence, I think, of being a resident or any property in Spain, and you perhaps need that fiscal identification number for a whole raft of different purposes. You need also to register yourself with the Padrón Municipal, the local and administrative registry which lists all the residents in a given municipality, and that's a statutory requirement, and you can even register with the Central Register of Foreigners.
And what about tax residents?
Yeah, I think, you know, it, I think we've gone through many times what you need to do to make sure you've got yourself properly authorised as a resident of Spain and that you're inside the law. There is a form, Modelo 030, that is the form by which you register yourself as an individual with the Spanish tax authorities. It can also be used for a number of other purposes. It can verify a change of your fiscal address. So if you move from one address to another, that's the form you use to tell the tax authorities that you have moved addresses so that they have, can correspond with you accordingly. And then you must also make sure that you complete and file your tax returns in a timely manner. That's your income tax and wealth tax returns, and indeed this Modelo 720, which identifies your non-Spanish based assets. Now, you're resident of Spain, then you're going to be liable for Spanish taxation on your worldwide income and your capital gains, and to wealth tax on your worldwide assets, depending on the value of your net wealth. It's also true that if you're resident of Spain, you're liable for, to Spanish death duties, succession, and gift tax is chargeable on assets located in Spain. So it's quite a lot to contend with if you're a resident of Spain, but once you've got your affairs in order from a tax perspective, it's pretty much plain sailing, to be honest.
Yeah. So what you're saying really, you can't use Brexit as an excuse. You have to be, if you're living here, you've got to register for residence for tax purposes. And that's that.
Yes, I mean, it is a very straightforward issue. If you spend more than 183 days cumulatively, they don't have to be consecutive, in a tax in a normal calendar year, then you are a resident of Spain. If you're a resident of Spain, you're resident for tax purposes. So you have to register yourself as a tax resident, and then you deal with your tax returns in the normal way.
Well, what about those who haven't done that and they've been here for longer? Can they take further steps to cement their position in Spain?
Yeah, it's. I don't think many people actually appreciate that if you have been living in Spain continuously for more than 5 years, then you have a right to permanent residence at the moment for an EU or EEA citizen. So if you can demonstrate actively that you had continuous legal residence for at least the last 5 years in Spain, given that Brexit is approaching, if you fulfill that requirement, you can apply now for a permanent residence document which will confirm your right to live in Spain, where you now live permanently and without any conditions into the future. So that may be really worthwhile considering. It's also true that I know a number of people have asked the question of whether they can actually adopt Spanish nationality. Well, that isn't quite as simple as it sounds, because under Spanish law, you can only have dual nationality with a limited number of countries, all of them more or less connected to Spain, Andorra, the Philippines, Equatorial Guinea, Portugal. So the United Kingdom isn't one of those approved countries for an automatic, if you like, application for Spanish residency. You have to give up and renounce your nationality of the UK before you can make that application, and there's no guarantee that you'll get it. But if you've been there a long time, it is something that a number of people have considered doing, because it will guarantee you, being a Spanish national, that you're going to be a part of the EU pretty much forever.
Yeah, I hear, though, that the Home Office is charging people when they renounce residency as well.
Yeah, listen, you don't think any government office these days would do anything for nothing. There's no such thing as a free renunciation.
Yeah, it's true. So, Bill, do you have any further advice about preparing for Brexit?
Yeah, I think we're cruising along at a relatively slow pace on the outside of all of this. Whereas I think it's a bit like, you know, the swan paddling in the pond. It looks pretty smooth on top to all of us, but I think underneath, the exchanges between the EU and the UK clearly are paddling away like mad underneath the water. And I think that it's difficult for most people to contemplate the degree of change that may be happening in their personal financial affairs and their tax arrangements once the United Kingdom is no longer a member of this joint economic union. There are a number of pensions considerations, there are a number of investment considerations, there are lots of issues which you may think will simply ride on into the future. And I can tell you now, there are lots of them that won't ride on into the future because of the changes taking place within this Brexit arrangement. And it's a good idea now to sit down and make sure that all the things you've got are properly in place, you've got all your ducks lined up, ready for these changes that are going to take place by the end of 2020. That sounds like a long way away, but it's, what, 18 months, 2 years away. So, you know, it's time to sit down and make some plans.
And if people need some help, Bill, how can they get in touch with Blevins Franks?
Yeah, I think that the Blevins Franks organisation have been giving advice on tax planning for nearly 40 years. And we have produced documents about having the right to live in Spain, having the right to live in any country in continental Europe. And if you get onto the website at www.blevinsfranks.com, I know that the local office will be very happy to hear from you. And they have a document, as I say, which will give you perhaps 10 steps, if you like, to consider in relation to your being a resident of Spain and actually the Brexit consequences. And so as a result of that, I'd go to the website at www.blevinsfranks.com, have a look at where the nearest office to you is, and then contact them and ask them if they can send you more information or perhaps even arrange to meet with you. I'm sure you'll find it beneficial to do so. It's better to get it right now than trying to get it right after the event.
Okay. Thank you very much, Bill. We'll talk again at the same time next week.
Thanks a lot, Howard. Have a good week.